coming to you from the mountains and the plains. The only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Altman.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance. And now your hosts, Joe Altman and Max McGuire.
Can't hear you, Max.
Sorry about that. Welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire.
This is Joe Altman.
And a happy Friday. Today's Open Line Friday. If you want to call in, 888-441-1121. We'll be talking about yesterday's insurrection that didn't happen. But we were warned, but it didn't happen. A few other topics. Interesting news stories. So if any of that interests you, or if you just want to get anything off your chest, talk about anything, feel free to call in 888-441-1121. It is March 5th. We are now, Joe, I know you're keeping track of this. We are a week and a half away from the one-year anniversary of 15 days to slow the spread. Yeah. I know you've been keeping track of this. We were only going to get 2 weeks, but we ended up getting 52. That sounds like one hell of a deal.
Well, I haven't worn a mask except for when I go to the airport. And when I went to CPAC, I had to wear it, but yeah. I kept pulling it down. That's the only time that I have worn a mask. Otherwise, I don't go places where I have to wear a mask.
So that's going to be an interesting week.
I walked into Costco.
They would kick you out.
No, they didn't.
Costco's pretty strict about it.
Nope, they didn't kick me out.
Oh, well, someone wasn't doing their job because they kick out everyone who doesn't wear a mask.
They didn't kick me out. I did my stuff and then I left.
So this is going to be a big week. We'll have the 1 year anniversary of 15 days of slow spread. We're going to have a big party, big celebration. Then on the 17th is, of course, St. Patrick's Day. So that's just a celebration in itself. And then on the 19th, we're giving away a handgun. Mr. Producer, put up that image. We're giving away an FMK Elite Pro Plus handgun, courtesy of our friends at DCF Guns. $650 value. Make sure you check out the link in the description and enter if you haven't already. Really important, in order to be eligible to win it, you have to stay subscribed by our email and by text. So if you unsubscribe to any of them, you will not be eligible to win. So just pay attention to that. Did see that in the last day, a few people did unsubscribe from our text list. We put that in the terms. You have to remain subscribed to both, at least through the end of the giveaway in order to be eligible to win. And we will compare the entries against current people who are subscribed. So make sure if you want to win it, check out the link in the description and stay subscribed until the 19th. And then we'll probably run another one afterwards. So don't unsubscribe. That way you'll get the info on the next one. So it's going to be a big week, celebrating the 52nd week anniversary of 2 weeks of slow spread, St. Patrick's Day, gun giveaway. But right now, Joe, we have another thing on the horizon. Democrats are claiming that there will be another insurrection on March 20th, and that the March 4th insurrection that they said was going to happen yesterday, that didn't happen. I think we have an image of that, Mr. Producer. Put up image number one. So that was the military that was preparing for it yesterday. I mean, that looks like the border wall should look like.
Do you notice anything about that? A lack of magazines?
Yeah. They don't give them magazines. They don't give them magazines for a lot of reasons. One of them being that they're afraid they're going to try and shoot Biden. The real story. They don't trust them. I mean, if I thought a Marine wanted to kill me, I wouldn't give him a loaded magazine within 200 yards of where I'm going to go stand. I wouldn't do that. So that was them outside of the fence line. I want you to see what the insurrection yesterday actually looked like. Put up image number two, Mr. Producer. This is it. A couple people showing up for pictures. That was the big reveal.
Build the wall. Build the fence.
That's the big insurrection.
Yeah,
and they were interviewed, and they just said, you know what? We just wanted to check it out. We want to see what's going on. So Congress ended business early. They took yesterday off. They brought in all the National Guard for a couple people with MAGA hats posing for a picture. It's just incredible.
Well, they don't care about what they spend. They certainly don't care about imaging. This is all just grandstanding. This is all creating propaganda. Now, here's the thing that everyone needs to know. Sources have told us that CNN has turned that three people into 50,000 people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Abso-freaking-lutely. They're going to make those three, four people look like they were a mob. They might even Photoshop them multiple times. Put on my screen, Mr. Producer. This was a photo that a journalist took of the tactical planning to make sure the military knew all the choke points to defend just in case the mob showed up for a second time. And then there's this image going around, someone on a bike wearing a Guy Fawkes mask taunting police. That's also the insurrection. That's also the insurrection that we have to worry about. You can go ahead and take that down, Mr. Producer. Well, it didn't happen. There was no insurrection yesterday. But instead of admitting that it was a lie, Pelosi is trying to blame Republicans for it. It's very strange. Yeah. She's saying that it was Republicans' fault because Republicans wanted to have a conference. So that's why they ended the session early, when in reality they canceled it because of the mob of four people. I don't know.
Hey,
I don't get it.
A couple days ago I was on the podcast by myself and I said something very clearly to everyone else. And I talked about the fact that they lie about everything. And one of the things that we were talking about is the fact that they're propping up the military and using all these different props and lying and using propaganda, and that we fail to call them out. So I think that at some point it came up again this morning when I had a meeting this morning, and somebody asked me. They asked me to go, hey, listen, Joe, we can't do anything though, and I'm going to sit here and tell you guys, yes, we can. But there's a lot we can do. There's a lot we can do. We can start being more boisterous. We can actually start having civil disobedience in large numbers. We can do that. We can spread the word, take our masks off. And if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. But we can start doing things that you may say makes you look like an a-hole. It really doesn't make you look like an a-hole. It makes you look like an American. Right? Start questioning things. We can start actually pushing back on legislative authority, and not only the federal side, but on the state side. And when we talk about the border, Max, I don't even know how you feel about this, but why can't we show up with 10,000 people across the border and say, come across this border and I'm going to kick your teeth in? Why can't we do that? Why? We're not allowed to do it? We're not allowed to protect our states?
No, we're not allowed to kick anyone's teeth in.
Oh, we're not?
No, it would be hard to have a self-defense argument when you drive from states away to show up at a given location.
Well, we don't even have to drive from states away. Can't we just be in the state?
Yeah, it would still be very hard to make a self-defense argument. But I mean, in the past, there have been posses that have been formally organized to do that kind of stuff. Questionable legality, questionable constitutionality. I'd love to see something like that.
You're being invaded by another country. I mean, that's the equivalent of what's happening. People are invading your country. And you're not allowed to stand up and actually stop it from happening? And if there was 10,000, who are they going to arrest if 10,000 people show up? Or even 1,000 people, who are they going to arrest? Right?
Well, remember,
and you're standing at the border.
Bundy standoff?
Oh, yeah. Bundy's won.
Well, until they shot them. Yeah. I mean, they really didn't win because a couple people got shot. But they were willing to take the entire weight of the federal government and go down these people just for showing up armed and saying that they didn't want to have to pay for grazing rights. Right. I think based on what we're seeing, Antifa in Portland being let off the hook, charges dismissed, conservatives in D.C. having the book thrown at them, I think that this administration would be more than happy to throw the book at anyone who went to the border and did anything they could possibly say was illegal. I mean, they're charging the guy with crimes because he put up his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk. I would not put it by them to do the same if you showed up to the border with a gun or to do anything. I just wouldn't put it by them. Not saying that it shouldn't be like that. I mean, that's the ultimate historical purpose for the Second Amendment, not to necessarily only protect you, which it is, protect you, protect your family, protect your community, to be in the militia, which you are a member of the unorganized militia. And it's not just to protect the country. It's also to protect the country in times where the federal government proves unwilling or unable to do so. I mean, so you go back. Obviously, we're not under the Articles of Confederation anymore. We have a federal constitution. But that was kind of the goal, to have state militias, local militias that could rise up and not necessarily rely on the federal government to be the total source of protection.
So why not do that?
Well, we're going from hypothetical constitutional arguments to federal grand juries, right? It's all fun and games to talk about it hypothetically until there's a grand jury of a bunch of Biden voters ready to send you away for life.
We're talking about Texas.
Well,
if you're on the southern border of Texas, there's not a whole lot of Biden supporters down there.
Except for the ones coming. Is bright blue. The border areas are bright blue. Yeah.
Okay. In what map?
The electoral map.
I don't think so. I think I would disagree with you.
All right, what do you want to bet, Joe?
I don't want to bet. I'm looking it up right now.
Ms. Fuser, go ahead. One second. Put up my screen. This is where Joe wants to go be in a grand jury, right around this area. Or maybe here. Maybe you get lucky and it'd be in this area. Or maybe you get lucky around here. But no, it's the border is very blue. And that is mostly because of immigration, right? They don't even pretend. It's because there are more immigrants in that area, and immigrants tend to vote blue. But yeah, no, the border area is the only part of Texas that is really reliably blue. So that's the federal districts don't necessarily follow those counties completely, but I wouldn't want to be brought up on charges down there. I wouldn't wish that on my enemies.
Look, I don't know. I think the Constitution's it's a live document. And I at some point we got to start making sacrifices. And if those sacrifices lead us down a path where we get indicted, then we start fundraising and taking care of and financing those people so they can be released. I mean, Nelson Mandela spent how many years in prison? 28 years in prison?
Yeah.
I mean,
put up my screen again, Mr. Producer.
Somebody asked me.
It could be worse. You could be doing it in 1964. You definitely don't want to commit a crime at the border in 1964 when the entire state, practically the entire state, was blue. Go ahead and take that down. Did you see, Joe, that one of the insurrectionists had an outburst yesterday in court? I'm going to try and bring it up. I'm just going to use the word that they use. Yeah. So it was the guy who put his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk. Go ahead, put my screen up again, Mr. Producer. This guy, he screamed out in court, not fair, when they announced to him that he was going to have to stay in jail pending his next hearing a month later. And he screamed not fair, rightfully saying that everyone else was being let go pending their hearings and he was being forced to stay behind bars. We do have a caller. We have James.
What's up, James?
He wants to talk about how states can take power back from the federal government. James, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, guys. Love your show. I really do appreciate all y'all are doing, the word out there. So I've kind of figured out how we can make America better, and giving power back to the states seems to be the logical conclusion. So would it be possible for states to create a law requiring all federal taxes, fees, any wage garnishes to be collected by the states and then be submitted to the federal government, like once a year?
You'd have to. It would be complicated because obviously the income tax comes from the Constitution. It was a constitutional amendment. So in order to really rein that in, you probably have to amend the Constitution, which would be very difficult to do. Not impossible. I mean, you could either do it through Congress or you could do it through a convention of the states. It's doable. It's just there's a lot of work behind that, and there's a lot of interests at play who don't want that to happen. When it comes to one of the reasons that things move very slowly in D.C. is on every issue, there's a special interest who's paid lobbyists to make sure that things don't change. So you start looking at all of the businesses that have built their entire business around the idea of the current tax structure, the H&R Blocks of the world, right? They're going to fight tooth and nail to stop any change, which they did in many ways to Trump's tax reform it could have been a lot different if the special interest didn't come into play. It's definitely possible, but it would be very difficult, and we come up against a lot of big money not wanting it to change.
So is it illegal for Texas to pass a law for that? I'm from Texas.
No, it yeah. wouldn't be. Texas has a different constitution than most other states in the union, right? So they still have an open door of secession. Secession. They have the ability to secede from the union in their constitution.
Yeah, if they were to secede, then all bets are on, right? The challenge is what tax would you see? Would you go after income tax, or would you go after something else?
What? Why not go after all of it? Why not go after all of it? Why not just stop the madness where if they have enough money, they can start sending it to other countries, which we don't, then why not just stop it off? Just say, hey, look, we're done with income tax. Although I got to tell you, property tax in Texas is pretty draconian.
Yeah, it's high, but there are ways to get it down. You can fight it. I fought it 2 years in a row and won, not bragging, just did. Once you reach a certain age, it can't go up anymore. You don't have to pay any increases in school. If you're a 100% disabled veteran, you don't pay any tax. So there's a lot of good parts. Part of the reason Texas's property taxes are so high are because of a lot of those incentives. So when you have a lot of disabled veterans moving into an area, I love them. If they're buying up a bunch of homes and they're not paying property taxes, ultimately other people are going to have to pay for it. So there are ways to get around it, but you save by not paying state income tax. So it kind of evens out. I think it would be hard, though, to just say that, like, income tax. I don't know if there's a mechanism, unless Texas were to secede, to basically stop the IRS from levying taxes directly to Texas residents, right? On other things, maybe with like environmental regulations where the EPA forces Texas to impose them, they might have a little bit more leeway there. It's just going to be hard for them to step in to processes that are already between the individual and the federal government.
You still with us there, James?
Yes.
All right.
And that's not me saying I don't want that. I'm not saying I don't want that. It's just it's never been done before, and probably for good reason. And you look through our history and the times where there have been major revolts against the tax code. You look at Shays Rebellion. You look at the Whiskey Rebellion. Old U.S. history. Those refusals to pay tax were met with the military. Now, would that fly today? Probably not. But I think that the federal government would employ other mechanisms to put it down. But again, if Texas secedes, then all bets are on in that regard.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks for the call, James. Again, open line Friday, 888-441-1121. Great question. I feel bad when I pour water on something. I'd love to see states start fighting back against the federal government in that way. And we've seen some movement with states passing or introducing bills to try and nullify Biden executive orders. We've seen states in the past try and nullify gun control. As I've talked on the show in the past, a lot of gun control is built on the provision in the Constitution, Interstate Commerce Clause, the idea that commerce has the authority to regulate interstate commerce. So a lot of states have tried and failed to nullify gun control by saying that guns wholly produced, sold, and used within one state cannot possibly be part of interstate commerce. And the courts have struck it down. So I'd love to see it. Unfortunately, all of the cases that we've really seen of states trying to fight back against it haven't been all that successful. But just to get back to this, it was a great call. Any more calls, 888-441-1121. If you have another topic, feel free to call. We'll stop what we're doing. We'll talk about it, and we'll just jump back right in to what we were talking about before the call. Put it on my screen again, Mr. Producer. So this is Richard Barnett. He's the guy who put his feet up on the speaker's desk, allegedly also brought a stun gun in. So they're hitting him with bringing in a deadly weapon. Interesting that Democrats have fought for so long to not classify stun guns as a weapon, so you had no right to own them. He also allegedly stole her mail on the way out the door. If those last two bits are true, very, very bad. They're going to nail you on that if you steal the Speaker of the House's mail. Like, mail theft is a federal crime, no matter who it is, especially if it's the Speaker of the House. And bringing a weapon into the Capitol, they're going to get you.
How do you think that this is going to go if he goes all the way to trial and they have a bunch of Trump supporters that are in the deal and they vote to not convict?
Oh, no, they're getting him in D.C.
Huh?
The grand jury's in Washington, D.C.
What? This is the same thing as shopping.
Well, crime's committed in Washington, D.C. It's not really there are times where they shop, but if the crime's committed in Washington, D.C., it's a pretty obvious choice to impanel the grand jury in Washington, D.C. too. And there, maybe one in 12, if they're being completely honest, are Republican, less even support Trump because you have a lot of rhinos in D.C. Yeah, no, they're going to get railroaded. Anyone who has a trial in D.C. is going to get completely demolished, which is, even if you think that you didn't do anything wrong, probably a good idea to plead down, because they're going to get you with everything. If they're throwing the book at you, they're going to get you on everything, which is sad. It's sad. But he had this outburst, and I want to put up the image. Ms. Spears, go ahead, put up my screen. So the court says, all right, take the number, speak to your client, and then we'll reconvene in 5 minutes. And it says, defendant, the government keeps dragging this out and letting everyone else out. And then Mr. Metcalf says, Richard, I'm advising you just. And it says, yes, I understand, but I've been here a long time. I've been here a month, and they're going to set it for another month, and everybody else is getting out. And then his lawyer tries to calm him down by saying, Richard, listen, he's right. He's right. You have a right to a speedy trial. And you have the right to make bail unless the government can prove that
you're violent. And he is not violent. He put his feet on the desk. But it's Pelosi's desk, so you know what Pelosi is happening then.
The problem is, if he actually did bring a stun gun into the Capitol, I mean, that's what they're getting him on.
Did he have a stun gun?
Allegedly. I don't know. That's what they're alleging. They're alleging they brought a stun gun or a taser or some kind of weapon of that effect into the Capitol. If he did, as unfair as it seems.
Too bad he didn't use it on Pelosi. Sorry, I said it.
Well, that would be bad, Joe. That would be the kind of language that gets us banned from every platform.
Ah, get out of here. Why can't we just have a little fun? Oh, I'm sorry. No smiling, no laughing, no having fun. We get canceled along with Mr. Potato Head and now Mr. Coffee. Mr. Coffee on next.
When the left was putting out videos of Donald Trump being decapitated or shot in the head, We criticized it. We can take the high road.
You can be funny. It's a stun gun. You ever been shot with a stun? Has anybody on here been shot with a stun gun?
Weapon.
I have. And it felt great.
It's a legal weapon. It doesn't feel great.
So my buddy, we were out. We were just having a little bit of fun. We're sitting out having a barbecue. And he walks up behind me and he sticks on the back and goes, hey, give me your wallet. And I was like, ha ha ha. And he went, and I went, bzzz.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's very much assault.
come on. It was like, funny.
If you told that story, except it ended with him shooting you in the leg, it would be the same crime.
Yeah.
So we have another caller on the line. We have Elizabeth. She wants to know, we talked about this yesterday, but we can talk about it again. Wants to know if Republicans can use the COVID card on illegal aliens. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Hey there, how are y'all doing today?
Good, y'all. Where are you from?
I'm from North Carolina. You might even hear my beagles barking in the background.
North Carolina.
Yeah. So,
love that place.
Well, yeah, it's great. However, but, I live really close to a sanctuary city in Charlotte. And it's highly agricultural, obviously. So we have a lot of migrant workers coming here, which I understand. I get it. But, of course, I saw the report that, that they were interviewing the woman that tested positive, and she's on her way, with her family, mm-hmm. on a bus, coming to North Carolina. And we have to do what they did. They used COVID, right? They used COVID against Trump. Why can't we do the same with Biden and this immigration crisis? The fact of the matter is, those people are, you can't blame them for coming here. You can't. They're being invited by the administration.
Yeah, there have been reports that there actually have been caught, not in the United States, but in Central American countries, with fake test results, so that when they get to a border checkpoint, they have to prove that they've tested negative recently. They present fake results so they can keep getting through. right? When you know that, when you know that in one border town, 6% of the illegal aliens who were sent to the bus depot tested positive for COVID, and you see how
the Biden administration.
Yeah, do the math. Yesterday, we talked about using the anal swabs. I don't want to go back down this road, but that seems like it could be a terrifying psychological warfare technique to get the caravans to turn around. And I saw this last night. This made me chuckle. If we need a hero, someone who's going to step up and do that job and strike fear into the hearts of the caravan, Mr. Producer, put it on my screen. This is the man to do it. I think that would strike fear in the hearts of every single caravan migrant. That if they get to the border, they will be swabbed.
I liked my swab better. Actually, no, his is kind of bigger. That would hurt.
Well, honestly, I do think that the people are would probably go through an anal swab to come into the United States, considering what they're being promised. I mean, they're being promised the world, right?
Yeah.
I made no less in the last 2 days, 40 phone calls to the people in my state. I mean, I called the Department of Health and Human Services. I mean, every single representative in my state, my crappy senators. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. But, you know, and I, depending upon which party they were in, is what I was going to say to them, you know. So that when I called a Democrat, Alma Adams, who is my representative, horrible, you know, yeah. I told them, I said, listen, I've protected my parents for a year. My father is 91. My mother is 85. I haven't seen my son in a year. And you're going to bring those people in here. I want to know what your plan is. So depending upon who you're talking to, you know, play up the COVID thing. I'm not scared of COVID, but people are. I think if we get really old people that are scared of COVID to speak up and make some noise, that maybe something will happen. Maybe not, but one can always hope.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right that at the same time that Americans haven't seen their family members in a year. I haven't seen my parents in a year. My dad had heart surgery last year, and my mom has a immune disease, right? So the idea of me accidentally giving them the virus is terrifying, right? We can talk about how certain statistics might be inflated in certain situations, but the idea that, I mean, they are at risk, right? So there are Americans who haven't seen their family members in a year. And yet Biden is reuniting illegal aliens with their family members, even though they're COVID positive.
Exactly. Right. My son wouldn't come. He wouldn't come for the holidays. He said, I couldn't bear it if I brought COVID unknowingly to my grandparents and they killed him. You know, I mean, he's not going to do it. So anyway, I love y'all so much.
Thank you.
Have one final thought.
Sure.
Okay. Y'all usually ask this.
Go for it.
You know, Joe, you always talk about what are people willing to do? Like, what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to sacrifice? I think that's the biggest problem that we have as a country, is no one pretty much currently alive has really ever had to sacrifice anything. We really haven't, in general. I mean, as a society in the United States, I mean, people aren't even willing to say, you know what, I'm not going to buy a Coke.
Oh, I am.
There's a possibility. You know, well, I am too.
Yeah.
I have never in my life shopped Amazon. Never will. Never will. Because I'm just not going to do it. I'll be without.
Well,
we have to learn to sacrifice. We have to.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I gave up my job as a CEO. I have a PSD now on me 24 hours a day. And I'm not even done. I'm just getting started. So I got to tell you, from the standpoint of what I'm willing to give up, I try to lead as by an example, and people have their own limits. But if we start actually sacrificing a little bit, either sacrifice time or money for others that can do the same thing, right, that are willing to stand up.
Right.
But, All right. Thanks for your call.
I appreciate your sacrifice. I think everybody needs to learn that it's going to have to happen for change.
All right. God bless you.
Yeah. All right. Have a great
Thank
weekend.
You so much
thank
for the call.
All right. We have another caller, and this is a special caller. I'm just going to talk. I'm not going to tell you anything yet. I'm just going to tell you we have a special caller on the line, and she is my friend, and she is a tireless leader, and she has stood up when most people have not stood up. And she has come across or come against people in Congress who, frankly, are just the what I would call the Pelosi's of the world. And please welcome Lauren Boebert to the call, the show. Hey, Lauren.
Hey there. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm so happy to be in Colorado where the sun is shining and I'm in silk. So there's a little bit of freedom here. I just can't wait to get back to normal. You know, yesterday I connected in Dallas and it was literally like landing in America. People were ripping off their masks and smiling. It was great. And so now here we are back in the Western Slope. And I think the Western Slope is going to lead the charge in Colorado for breaking back out into freedom.
Absolutely. Well, with you leading the charge out there, I have no doubt that that's going to happen. Can you give us an update on what's going on in D.C.? Obviously, we were talking today about the fake insurrection that was supposed to happen. It didn't happen because the left is causing more issues.
Yes. Well, the thing is, the Democrats are obsessed with conspiracy theories. They live for it. They crave it. They wait for it. And it's really sad because they are masters of projection. So everything that they are guilty of, they accuse their opponents for being guilty of the same thing. And the media gives them a free pass in doing it. These folks are more obsessed with any conspiracy theory than I have ever heard in my entire life. So if you want an update on Washington, D.C., it's terrible. It's swampy. It's gross. It's political theater.
It was, by the way, it was really good to see you at CPAC. I'm going to tell you, it was swampy there too, a little bit. It had that feeling of just the rhinos
Both D.C. and Orlando historically have been swampland.
Yeah.
I mean, so it kind of makes sense.
Left publicans. Yeah. The left publicans were everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And there were more there than I expected. And so it does kind of give you like a grungy feeling being there. Like we are there to see the leader of this America First movement, and we're excited to hear from him. I was looking at it like we were going to the State of the Union and hearing on what's going on, what are the plans, give us our marching orders. And then to have some folks there that don't really jive in that crowd, it does make you feel a little grunge and like, oh, they're disingenuous. You know, they're trying to ride these coattails. But nevertheless, we have far more on our side. And so if they want to try to pretend and ride along with us, whatever, we're going. We're not slowing down because of them, that's for sure. But there in Washington, D.C., I'm sure you saw us just passing junk garbage in the dead of night. We had the $1.9 trillion spending package that was passed in the middle of the night. While there's still $1 trillion that's been approved by Congress that's unspent. And then we just sign away another $1.9 trillion. And only 9% of it actually goes to any sort of COVID relief. And, you know, it's just the Democrats play on words. They take our language and they put a pretty bow on something and call it what it's not. It's very disingenuous to deceive the American people like that. To call this COVID relief, 9% of it goes to COVID relief, and the rest is the Biden's blue state bailouts, it's Pelosi's bridge to nowhere. It's just absurd how much of this is packed in there.
See,
and then of course we have the. Yeah. Go ahead.
You just fire me up, I'm like, see, this is what I'm talking about. We just need 535 Laurens running around.
We saw yesterday that the Senate was forced to read the entire bill. It took them the better part of 10 hours. But we also saw that none of the senators really stayed and listened to it. So they admitted that they didn't read the bill. And then when they're forced to actually read it out loud, no one listens to it. Like they voluntarily choose not to listen to it. And then they're going to come back and vote on it. What can we do? I mean, obviously it's hard to force anyone to do anything. But is there any talk? I mean, Pelosi promised that this wouldn't happen. She promised that everyone would have time to read a bill, that they would actually go through it. And then every time one of these big bills comes up, she just rams it to the floor. Is there any talk on the left, at least, that this is ridiculous?
No, they are so tight-knit and bound together. They are in lockstep with one another. So they're going to follow Pelosi's lead and everything. You know, they are for the wall around the Capitol. They love Fort Pelosi. They love bowing down to her and kissing the ring. And it's really gross. But I'm glad that they forced them to read the bill. That's what I intend to do in all of my committee hearings and everywhere else that I can. My team and I were just strategizing how much we can get in the Democrats' way, because we are not going to let this be painless for them to destroy our country. So whatever roadblocks I got to throw up, and if I have to sit through and hear the bill, I'll hear the bill. You know, I actually want to know what's in the bill. I go through, and my team and I, we read these bills. We just had H.R. 803 that heavily impacted my district. 550,000 plus acres in my district are affected, that Diana DeGette and Joe Neguse are reaching in and blocking off our land. Diana DeGette just stands on the House floor, and she says, oh, I welcome you all to come to these areas on horseback with me. Great, you're going to check out the pretty views and call it a day and then shut it off so we can't access our land in our district? Like, go fly a kite, lady. So I'm just so fed up with these people and how they operate down there. So whatever I have to do to message to the American people and tell them exactly how I'm getting in the Democrats' way, that's what I'm going to do each and every day.
So I want to remind everyone that's listening, both if you're listening on the podcast, just on the non-video version,
audio
version on Apple Podcast. that death by a thousand cuts on the left, right? And the way you can actually help with this fight that Lauren's in is, even if you just, you know, gave her $10 or $15 or $20 a month, just small amounts to show your support for Lauren. I actually have the link. I'll put it up. We are going to have Lauren on the show, where she can talk about some of the things that are happening in Washington and things that she's actually doing to go back into the community. You'll notice, Lauren, that you're back in Colorado, because Lauren comes back into the community and she asks people in her environment, what do you need? And then she takes that back to Washington. And that is a rarity on either side of the fence, of the political fence. And so Lauren, I'll put it up there. You can also go, by the way, and to Lauren's Facebook page. Lauren, you have I didn't see you on Parler. Do you have a Parler page? Are you on Parler?
Yes, my Parler is at Lauren Boebert. And then I don't know, I have so many of them. We'll get you a list of everything. Lauren Boebert for Congress. And then I have the most fun on Twitter, at Lauren Boebert. And that's where I give my team a heart attack every other day for the things that I'm doing. And then they have to remind me that I'm not Trump. But then my website is laurenforfreedom.com, and people can go there to chip in $10, $20, whatever they can help. And this, we got here because of small dollar grassroots efforts, and that's how we're going to stay here.
Yeah, and Lauren, you're under constant attack, and I just want to let you know that the people that are listening are praying for you. I'm praying for you. Obviously, I will stand up for you every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And anything we can do to help you, you obviously know, we collectively at Conservative Daily and me personally, I'll definitely do for you as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate all that you are doing, FEC is doing, everybody is doing for Colorado. Thank you for sticking with us and in this fight. Colorado is worth saving. Our country is worth standing for and fighting for. And so I'm just proud to be fighting alongside of patriots like yourself each and every day.
All right. God bless you. I'll let you get back to the fighting the good fight. And I'll reach out to see if I can get you on the show here soon.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks,
Lauren. Talk to you soon.
Take care. So that was Lauren Boebert. She is amazing, and she is a tireless leader, both in Colorado and across the country. She does not know how to quit, and she does not know how to, you know, settle down and be quiet and fall in line behind the rhinos. They have tried many times to get her to just, you know, just hey, don't do that. Don't be loud. Don't be the one that's actually getting the attention. Don't stand up against the left.
Yeah.
And Max, we've talked about the left Republican problem and the trans Republican problem, and the fact that they say that they're trying to stop what's happening, that the degradation of our moral and ethical character of our communities. But Lauren is actually doing it. And I'm just proud of her. I'm proud of the things that she's doing. I'm proud to call her a congresswoman. And for those of you that don't know, she was a small business owner. She decided to stand up once for the Second Amendment. She went against that clown, from Texas. the guy that came here to Colorado and talk about taking people's AR-15s and
Beto. Robert Francis
Hark. Yeah, and that was the first time she had ever stepped out like that. And you know, from there she ran for Congress. She was told that she wouldn't win. She went against an incumbent in the primary. They discounted her. The GOP discounted her. But she kept standing up. She kept actually talking about the things that affected her community, affected people in the community. And from there, she won the primary, and then she won the general. And they're already starting on the left. They're already starting on the left to try and build this war chest against Lauren Boebert. They're already starting to do everything they can to unseat her. And she's going to need your help. So even $5, $10, I maxed out with Lauren in the primary. I did in the general. I will again this time.
It's a new election season now.
Yeah.
So you're good to go for another 2 years.
But I mean, if you want to help Lauren out, I will put the link inside of the description. Let me see if I can grab it real quick and do the best I can to help her in this fight for us. So she's amazing. And she's a big supporter of FEC United.
She's so powerful. She's so powerful. She went to Congress carrying a gun, and Nancy Pelosi put up metal detectors.
How about that?
And it's funny that she calls it Fort Pelosi. I love that name, Fort Pelosi, because it is. It's a fort of her own creation. There are no barbarians at the gate. As we showed yesterday, Mr. Booster put up image number two again. There was no one there. There was a couple people posing for a picture, and one guy in a Guy Fawkes mask. There was no one else there. Funny that it is that it's Fort Pelosi. That's what it absolutely is. So our previous caller mentioned Coke, and I don't know if anyone's been watching the WandaVision show on Disney Plus. Lots of people nowadays talking about the idea of a multiverse, that there's our universe and there's simultaneous universes where things are a little bit different but kind of similar. Well, I believe in somewhere in the multiverse, there's another universe where Pepsi ran this ad, and there are race riots because of it. Put up my screen, Miss Producer. Pepsi ad, be less black. Just imagine.
Who did
imagine
that?
Imagine the chaos. Well, someone just made it. But just imagine the chaos if Pepsi ran this ad. I mean, there would be blood in the streets.
Yeah.
Our previous caller mentioned Coke, so I wanted to bring that up. That made me chuckle last night when I saw it. So we have some other video from Jack Posobiec's Twitter account. You got to put up my screen, Mr. Producer. We won't play the audio of it, but this is him showing what it's like in the Capitol yesterday.
For insurrection?
For Insurrection Day.
I freaking love him. Oh my gosh, there's somebody. Who is that? Oh, no, nope,
well, Democrat. They're just going about their business, right? They're just going about their business. So what's really sad is that at one point he sees some pigeons, and maybe they're insurrectionist pigeons. I don't know. But this is what insurrection apparently looks like. Not the fact that Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats are considering revoking Iowa's second congressional district's race and removing the Republican and giving it to the Democrat because the Democrat's a sore loser that they lost by 6 votes. No, that's not insurrection. This is insurrection. And we can leave this up if you want and just talk over it. It's 10 minutes long of him just walking around, and there's no one. There's absolutely no one there.
So,
but
this
there's barbed wire.
This is all about nothing for nothing. Barbed wire and fences for the insurrectionists. They're going to come, I don't know, storm the Capitol for what? They're not even there.
I don't know.
Who's going to storm the Capitol? Nobody even cares about these people, these congresspeople on the left or the right, except for Lauren Boebert and people like her, like, you know, Green Taylor and Lauren and, yeah, Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Sorry.
Third time's a charm.
It won't be the first time.
So here he's walking around, people enjoying a sunny day, renting some bicycles.
Okay, I'm going
to
fall
asleep. No, there is no insurrection to be seen. It's just, where's the insurrection? I don't know. It's nowhere. I feel like there would be a Dr. Seuss book about this if he wasn't already being banned.
Oh, where would you they be? Oh, where would they be if they weren't insurrectionist to thee? Yeah. Okay, I should not be Dr. Seuss at all. No. I'm not that good at it. Hey, so I'm only sticking around for the first hour, and the reason being is because I'm actually going to be going to meet with the banks so that I can actually do some great things leading up to what's happening on March 15th, which is the launch of, obviously, the crowdfunding. It'll happen around the 16th or 17th, and so I will be here for the first hour. Lots of great things happening on that. The sticker event that Max doesn't know about, I actually have the stickers, but I will show them to you on Monday. And they came in. They're really nice. And then we have people working on other ones.
You need a couple days to get the stickers. It's okay.
I'm about to punch him in the throat. This is the only time we're going to get kicked off of YouTube for me threatening to punch Max in the throat. There are other people that want to punch you too. See, somebody just said, punch. Yeah, please, punch him low. What? No, I'm just kidding. They didn't say that. Very nice. I was just making it up.
Yeah, no one would say that. Yeah. That would sound like you're Eric Holder, and we don't talk like that. We don't talk like Eric Holder.
No.
Kick them when they're down. When they go low, we kick them.
It's good.
So let me get out of this video. So go ahead and put up my screen, Mr. Brewers. I'll get your take on this, Joe, before you leave. This was from Joy Reid. Megyn and Kelly tweeted this out, but Joy Reid actually did say this. She says that conservatives would trade all the tax cuts in the world just to be able to publicly use the N-word.
Did you know that most people on every side of the aisle would not use the N-word?
No, they wouldn't.
No, but they wouldn't use it even if they could use it. Because that's not the mental... See, conservatives are good people. Liberals are the ones that are evil. They're the ones that actually are the closet racists. Hey, can you go ahead and pull that underneath her leg real quick? Sorry, she's got you. Yeah. It amazes me that we're even having a conversation about this because they want to keep it alive. It reminds me of Al Sharpton, right? Or Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
Going against the absolute teachings of Martin Luther King. We have to have the conversations about it. We have to sit here and talk about the fact and defend the fact that we wouldn't use it. Who would? No one would use it. I promise you this. No one would use it in front of me and not get knocked in the throat. True story.
Yeah, no.
Because if I heard I would throw someone on their neck. Yeah.
I can't imagine anyone doing this. I mean, it's insanity.
Look, there are people that would, but it's such a small group of people, and they all hang out together, kind of like libtards. They hang out together too. So that's where you'll find it, there. And it's, hey, we're going to create a false narrative. We're going to build a boogeyman. We're going to put it out in the marketplace. We're going to make people not like conservatives because they're standing up for people in America. And if they want to destroy America, you want to stop the people most powerful, most that have the most ability to stop this madness that's happening in our country. You want to divide them. And that's what they're trying to do. That's what they're trying to do. Loony leftists.
Yeah.
Loony
leftists. But it's just insane to me that she actually believes that Republicans would give up tax cuts to be able to do it without consequence. I mean, that just isn't true, right? I mean, even if you had a racist Republican, I guarantee you they'd rather have the tax cuts, right? It's just, it's false on so many levels, but they just make it up and it spreads like wildfire and everyone's online say, oh, I agree. Republicans are so racist, so evil. It just really is incredible. Really, it makes no sense. There's no actual logic behind it. But, I mean, that's how the Democrats tend to operate. That's how the Democrats tend to operate. I want to get your opinion, Joe, before we leave, on this. It's the White House admitting that they still have no plan for Joe Biden to hold a press conference. Mr. Producer, let's jump ahead to cut number 5.
Any update on his first press conference?
Not yet, but we will definitely have one. We will schedule it, and you will be the first to know because you're pivotal participants in that.
Circle back. We'll circle back to you.
Now, I'm going to say this at risk of getting fact-checked, but I'm reasonably certain. I think you have to go back 100 years to find a president who didn't give a press conference in person in his first 43 days in office. I think you have to go back 100 years.
Yeah, probably.
Now, I'll say that with plus or minus, right, give or take, but it's been a very long time since we've seen a potatoes afraid of the microphone like this. Why do you think that is? Before we let you go.
I don't think he can answer questions. I don't think coherently he could stand in front of a mic for longer than 10 minutes. He can't do it. And I have to have my card. Oh, I think I left it on my desk. Hey, I'll take questions if you want me to take questions, if that's what I'm supposed to do. How is that a leader of the free world? Because, oh, that's right, we're not free because of censorship and everything else. I want to remind you something that Martin Luther King said that I think that we actually get lost when he made his speech, right? Is that I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they'll not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He actually said that. And right now, we're not judging people by the content of their character. We're allowing anybody to do whatever they want, letting them out of jail, letting them just wreak havoc on the American people. And then we use the excuse that if you don't agree with it, you're racist. We are doing the opposite of what everyone out there would have followed and has followed since Martin Luther King was assassinated. Which, by the way, nearly 80% of the entire U.S. did not even like Martin Luther King when he was assassinated. And the change happened.
They didn't want him dead.
They didn't like him,
but didn't want him dead, yeah.
And then we find out, by the way, that the same organizations, and you could call me a conspiracy theorist, you can say whatever you want, that the same people that we're dealing with in the FBI and these compromised alphabets are the same people that caused the death of Martin Luther King way back when. I mean, I don't, and I want to say that because that should just tell you where the division lies, where it came from, why it's still here, and why the leftist radicals that want to destroy everything in our country continue to get away with the things that they get away with.
Yeah. The establishment, the deep state. Yeah, there was a deep state back then. They hated Martin Luther King. I mean, J. Edgar Hoover made it his personal mission to discredit Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
To claim that he was a womanizer, that he was a cheater, right? To do whatever he could to discredit him among the black community. There were a lot of people holding the reins of power who didn't want him to succeed. And it's really sad. And if you actually look back in history, most of them were Democrats.
All right. Hey, guys, I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. Final word, have courage. Be willing to sacrifice. Please help Lauren Boebert out. I put it in the deal as well. Just an update on the lawsuit with the Coomer. Is he here? Oh, he's not here today. Oh, crap. Stop listening to us. We got through the first. Everyone filed their motion to dismiss. We filed a motion to change venue. That was actually what was really weird is that the judge does not want to let go of this case because of the idea that it's going to have public interest. But we're continuing to fight the fight. And I think the next motions hearing is in a couple weeks. So I'll try to see if I can go live from the motions hearing and show everyone.
You can't go live.
Yes, I can.
Motions hearing.
Yes, I can. It's on a Zoom.
Oh, it's an online. Yeah. It's on Zoom. So yeah, we could live stream it.
I think we should absolutely live stream could. It. You guys want me to live stream it? Tell Max we want to live stream it. But I think that that's really important. We also have some major updates from private investigators that have been looking into Mr. Coomer. I'm not going to call him doctor because he's not a doctor. He may be a doctor, but he's not a doctor. Okay.
Don't get sued for slander.
How am I going to sue for slander?
He's obviously a doctor.
I know so much about this guy. I could probably write his bibliography. I could.
I know. But he is a doctor. You can say he's a bad doctor. You say he doesn't deserve the title of doctor. But finish up. I'm always trying to protect you from getting sued for stupid reasons.
So I'm not going to get sued for that. I mean, he's going to lose a job because I said that he's not a doctor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point being is that I'm going to, in my opinion, based on all the information that I've collected, and that information is going to come out, Coomer's is a big trouble. So I'm going to make sure that as much of this information can come out, does come out. And we're going to have a little fun with it in the future. So God bless you guys. Have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday. And I will sticker myself, walk in here with stickers everywhere. And it's going to be fun.
Joe's right. Running off to Staples right now to buy the sticker sets that you can print from a printer. Because I don't think stickers exist. So we're going to take a real quick break. And we're going to come back. And when we do, we're going to take more of your calls. We just had Congresswoman Lauren Boebert on the show, but it is still Open Line Friday. So you don't need to be a congresswoman to join. You can call 888-441-1121. Talk about anything we're talking about, anything that just happens to be on your mind. Call in, let us know, 888-441-1121, and we will put you on. We'll be right back on the other side of this quick break.
Ronald Reagan famously said that our freedoms are never more than a generation away from extinction. Conservative Daily exists to make sure that never happens. With our community of 700,000 members, we fight every day to hold Congress's feet to the fire and stop them from surrendering our rights and freedoms. The fight to take this country back is not over. Please join our movement right now by going to conservative-daily.com and clicking the subscribe button to sign up for our free call to action newsletters. We have a chance to save this country, but only if we all work together. Again, this is conservative-daily.com, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button at the top.